The views and discussion expressed on this program do not necessarily represent those of the hosts of the program. WMKV, Maple Knoll Communities, WLHS, the Lakota Local School District, or staff and management. The information and advice presented are educational in nature and not intended to be taken as specific legal, accounting, or other professional advice. Always consult with your own legal, accounting, or other professional before making any investment. Welcome to Real Life Real Estate Investing, a show to help you gain financial freedom by investing in real estate. Brought to you by the Real Estate Investors Association of Cincinnati and the Ohio Real Estate Investors Association. You're listening to Real Life Real Estate Investing on WMKV, WLHS, and the Maple Knoll Radio Network.
Well, good evening. I'm Scott Ellsworth, your guest host for tonight. Vina is off tonight. And we have a great presentation for you. Today's episode, which you're going to hear, is going to challenge the way you think about investing, wealth, and financial freedom. Important to all of us. Our guest is George Antone. He's founder of Finance, a company developing cutting-edge strategies and technology to build wealth. George believes most people are playing the wrong financial game entirely, which is why even disciplined investors often spend decades trying to reach financial freedom, and many never fully get there at all. In this conversation we're going to have tonight, we're going to explore concepts like trapped capital, financial friction, capital velocity, leverage, asset sequencing, and why the structure behind the investment may matter even more than the investment itself. A lot of jargons in there, and George is going to talk about those. If you've never wondered why building wealth seems to take so long, this episode may completely change the way you think about money. Welcome, George.
Oh, thanks, Scott. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. I'm glad to have you. George is a good friend. Known him for probably about 15 years now. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your background, maybe how you came to this point of helping people, helping others build true wealth?
So this whole thing started in, when I was in corporate America, I used to work in software, building software and building finance-specific software, personal finance like Intuit and Quicken and all that stuff. And worked there for a number of years. And but in 2001, I got to a point where I was done with corporate America. I walked away and I said, you know what, I'm ready now to just focus on investing. And I never looked back. It's been now, 25 years. Loving every minute of it. So I started investing full time. I had started investing part time before that, and I just realized how much more fun it is to work on your own and invest and all that stuff. And along the way, I started helping people. You know, I would find people in RIAs that needed help, and I would help them out, and I would see them become successful and stuff, and felt really, really good. And let's see, 2010 is when I wrote my first book, and people started buying it. I'm like, wow, people are enjoying this book. And here I am, started company later and started incorporating technology into what we're doing. And we kept pushing the envelope on what's possible. And our whole goal was, how can we help the average person get to their goals in 10 years or less? This was always the driver. And sure enough, we've been able to crack the code, but we really had to dive in and think outside the box to get to this point.
Right. So what do you think so many disciplined investors, why do you think so many still spend decades trying to reach financial freedom? Why does it take so long?
You know, what I tell people is, if you think about the whole game of wealth building, there's really only two sides. There's the capital side, and then there's the asset side. You need the money to buy the assets. And so there's only two sides. Unfortunately, most people focus on the wrong side. They focus on the assets. So they're always asking, you know, what should I invest in? By asking that question, they're focusing on the asset side. But what I realized is, and if you talk to any, most investors are focused on the asset side. They're, you're focusing on something that you cannot control, because you cannot control the rate at which something grows. But if you focus on the capital side, that's actually the biggest bottleneck. Most people don't have enough money to be able to invest. So really, they should be focusing on the capital side. How can I increase my capital faster than putting it just into any asset? Because the asset limits the growth of your capital. And so what happens is most disciplined investors are really spending all this time focusing on the asset and focusing on return. What's the return? What's the return? What's the return? What asset do I have to invest in to get the highest return? And that ends up being the wrong question. You should be focused on how fast can I build up my capital faster than normal, right? How can I focus on speed to my to get to my goals? And that's really why it's a completely different game than focusing on the asset. And that's what really limits them.
All right. So when you talk about it, sort of that they're in the wrong financial game, they're doing the wrong thing. What do you mean when you say to most people that they're playing the wrong financial game? What is it? What is the game they should be playing?
So I tell them you should be focused on increasing the amount of capital you have. And so the way you do that is you don't focus on where to invest, what's the highest return. You ask yourself, what's asset, what transaction can I get to reuse the same capital? So here's the way I think about it is there are three main bottlenecks in wealth, building wealth. Number one is your savings rate. If someone is saving 10,000 or 20,000 a year, whatever that number is, that is by far the biggest bottleneck. So let's start with that. Okay. The second bottleneck is once you invest money into an asset, a lot of the investments out there, your capital is trapped, meaning it's just sitting there doing nothing. It's stuck. For example, we all know with real estate, you know, real estate is such a huge wealth builder. But at the same time, if you are not careful, you can trap your money there for years and years and years. That's called trapped capital. The third one is what I call financial friction, which is there's a lot of inefficiencies in when people are building wealth. So what I tell people is focus on these three bottlenecks and you can actually resolve them and actually move more capital. So this way, you don't have to increase your savings rate as much. You can reuse the same capital to actually increase your number of assets. So focus on increasing capital. So I tell them the game you should be in is increasing your capital, the same capital you have. How can you reuse it? How can you turn money, use velocity of money, for example, and turn the same money and make it work for you significantly harder than just putting it into an asset?
So it is sort of odd because it's counterintuitive. So why is optimizing the return, right? You're looking for the return. Everybody looks at the return, return, return. Yeah. Why is it the wrong focus?
So because the high return means for many people, their capital's getting trapped. The minute it gets trapped and slow, and it becomes very difficult to reuse. So here's what I would say, Scott. Imagine putting in, let's just say, $200,000 into something, and you have to wait for 10 years to see a result. But meanwhile, the $200,000 is just sitting there, trapped. Well, what if you could put money into something where you can get back some of that $200,000? That's called capital velocity. What if you can get back 20, 30, 40% of that money immediately back through refinancing or through cash flow, through different mechanisms, so that this way you can reuse that same money? And so one of the things, Scott, I tell people, and you've seen this, is some investments, you can invest money and get back 50% through refinances, cash flow, different mechanism, and reinvest it within a year, right? And if you're able to do that, you don't have to focus on having to work harder. Again, your biggest bottleneck is your savings rate. So focus on increasing that savings rate through reusing capital, right? And that is by far the biggest bottleneck for most people is how much can they contribute money into investing? Well, stop thinking about work and start thinking about reusing your capital. So it's better to get, for example, a 8% return versus a 12% return. If you're 8%, you're able to reuse most of that money rather than just having it trapped, right?
Yeah. All right. So we are going to take a short break and we'll be back with George. Just as a reminder, some things that are coming up tonight, 7:30 to 9 Eastern time, the Summit Real Estate Investors Help Night. It's going to talk about raising private capital, private money. You can find that link at cincinnatireit.com. And then Saturday, June 13th, very own George Antone is going to be doing an all-day session, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern, entitled Why Most Real Estate Investors Build Wealth Too Slowly and How to Do It Better. So that's $47 for a member, and then $97 for non-members. Again, you can sign up at cincinnatireit.com. We'll be back in just a minute. We are back. I'm Scott Ellsworth, your host for tonight, and I've got with me George Antone. Man, the knowledge in his head just can blow you away sometimes. He has just got so many things, and he has been helping people build wealth much faster than they normally would do it. George, we talked about trapped capital. So is that like I've got an apartment building, let's say that's worth $3.5 million, and I've only got $1 million in debt. So I've got, do I have like $2.5 million of trapped capital? Is that exactly what we're talking about?
That's exactly correct. So what happens is some examples of trapped capital could be paying your mortgage down too soon. Now, as you know, Scott, paying down your mortgage, you're always welcome to pay it down later. There's something we'll talk about a little bit later, but called sequencing. The sequence in which you do things is critical. So if you start paying down your mortgage too soon in your career and you haven't hit a specific threshold in terms of wealth, you're paying it too soon, and therefore that is one way of trapping capital. If you get a 15-year mortgage, for example, over a 30-year mortgage early on in your investing career, that 15-year is trapping capital too fast. You know, buying illiquid assets too early, right, again, is another example of trapped capital. If you put money into a mutual fund and it's just sitting there doing nothing, right? That's trapped capital. There's so many places that there's trapped capital. And it turns out, and here's a part, Scott, that really blows my mind. And this is something that I've been working on for some number of years. If you look at how can I optimize, if I have an asset, if I own several assets, and I'm trying to optimize it to go from a 40-year plan down to a 10-year plan, there is no way on earth you can optimize whatever an asset is, you know, increase the rate or return to go from 40-year down to 10-year. But if you simply optimize trapped capital and other things we call financial friction, if you simply optimize these things, you can indeed go from a 40-year plan down to a 10-year plan, which is incredible because that is beyond the asset, right? And so that is just by optimizing your decisions around making reusing capital.
All right. So when people ask you then, what should I invest in? How do you answer them?
Great question. So first I tell them, and that is the number one question people ask me is, what should I invest in? What should I invest in? And I keep telling them, look, the better question is, how do I structure my capital so it can keep growing and moving faster and keep reusing it. So I tell them to look into velocity of money, because velocity of money is what we're looking for here. How can I get back some of that money sooner so I don't have to work for it and have it reinvest? And that's the key number there is. And so that's why I tell them, change the question, because the question is forcing you to think about the asset. And I tell them, look, if you had, let's just say $3-4 million today, what would you do? And people always know what to do with it, right? But so the question is, how can you get there? That's the question. How can I get to that number, whatever that number is, 3 million, 4 million, whatever, to be able to invest better? And that is through structuring investments so that your capital comes back sooner so you can reuse it. And so it's really the wrong question when people say, what should I invest in?
Okay. So we talked a little bit about trapped capital, and we talked about the idea that I had the apartment building. That's trapped capital. What other types of trapped capital are there, and what's the hidden problem, which you touched on? Maybe you can go into a little more detail on that.
So again, the key is, so here's what I tell people to do is think about when you're buying, or so let's go back to sequence. Sequence is critical. The sequence in which you invest in the strategies. For example, my son right now wants to buy a property. And I said to him, look, you're early in your career. Real estate is a huge wealth builder, but you want to buy it in the right sequence because he's going to put all his savings as a down payment. And as you know, Scott, he lives in San Francisco. That's a huge down payment, right? We're talking about $300,000. And he's not even thinking about the mortgage because he wants to. The problem is he's going to put all his life savings and trap that capital instead of reusing it. So instead, what I have him doing is I said, why don't you do A, B, C? And then later on, that process where it starts turning the money, it actually starts generating enough capital to actually buy the property later on, right? And I'm a big advocate of him buying real estate, but in the right sequence. So what I tell him is this: early on, think about the following criteria for assets. I give him criteria so he can think about it himself. I said, you want something that is stable. You want something that's liquid, meaning if you have to, you can sell it quickly. You need something that's income producing, right? You know, things like, you know, dividends or anything like that, things that you can borrow against, and things that have favorable leverage terms. So for example, real estate right now doesn't have favorable leverage terms, as you know. And so right now, with you have to look at what can I borrow against that's relatively liquid and stable that I can reuse that capital to buy more stuff. And so we focus more on this criteria. And we place things in the right sequence, right? And so, and when you start thinking around that, you start realizing, Scott, that there is such a thing as a speed for every single strategy. Every single asset has a speed. You have to know how to calculate the speed, and that's the speed of getting back the money. And so we put things in sequence so that we get back our money as fast as possible to reuse it quickly. So. That's a real life example of trapped capital, right? So,
gotcha. So how about so? I know returns shouldn't be the most important part, but how can a high return strategy actually slow down at wealth building? It seems counterproductive. It seems like the higher the return, the better.
Exactly. And here's what I tell people is I say the problem with this is the problem I realized by myself is every time we talk about highest return, no one is accounting for time, right? And so if I'm investing my capital into something that has a high return, let's just say 12%, for example, and the money is locked in there, I'm not accounting for time. But when you invest for speed, your like return is not as important. Getting back the capital is more important. And so if I was invest in something that pays 8%, but I'm able to get back 50% of my money, you know, within 12 months, and most of it within first 6 months, and reinvest that is way more interesting because my total assets is increasing. So I'll give you an example. If I told you, Scott, you have 200,000 and you can invest in something, the 200,000 that gives you a 12% return, but you have to wait for so long, 20 years, for example, or 10 years. Well, the problem is your 200,000 isn't growing that much. It is only growing at the rate of whatever that asset is giving you, 12% in this example. But on the other hand, if you're able to reuse capital, I can take that 200,000, turn it into $500,000, $600,000, $700,000, $800,000, because I'm able to reuse the same capital along with, you know, structured with leverage and all that, to be able to generate more cash flow in terms of dollars, right? And so the 8% is 8% of a smaller number, The 12% is a number, is a 12% off a smaller number, but I can get 8% off a bigger number because I'm able to reuse it, that capital. So it ends up being a much bigger number in terms of cash flow.
So if that capital comes back, does it generally come back through leverage? Obviously, it seems that if I'm taking the capital out of what I'm invested in, then I'm not getting the return on that part.
No. Yeah, so great point. So it is a combination of leverage. It's a combination of also cash flow and also capital gains if need be. But it's mostly leverage and cash flow. And so what you want to do is you want to get back. You want to keep your money invested in that asset, whatever it is. Borrow against it, and then buy more of whatever different assets you're buying.
Okay, so that makes sense. All right, we are going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back after this to discuss more with George on how to build our wealth efficiently and quickly. All right, we are back. This is Scott Ellsworth. I'm your host for this evening, and we're here with George Antone. I would say it's a wizard. Some of the stuff he does just is, it seems like magic, but if you understand his principles, they are life changing, to build wealth. Can you share, how people can shave decades off their journey? How is that physically possible? I mean, you hear these, you hear these stories about we invested, we put in our 401ks, and then when we're X old, we have X amount of dollars, and then we live, and we got to make that last till we die at age whatever.
So I'll tell you, that's been a dilemma we've been working on for years. And so here's what we found. If you think about, so the question is, how can you go from a 40 year or never plan to 10 years or less? And as you know, Scott, cause you've seen it, we've had a lot of members doing getting incredible results within a matter of, 3 to 7 years. The reason is number one, you have to recognize the following. Number one is that understand the three bottlenecks. Let's go back to the bottlenecks I mentioned before. Low savings rate. So if someone is saving $20,000 a year, $10,000 a year, whatever it is, there is no way on earth you can get your goals that fast, right? Number two, trapped capital, like we talked about earlier. And number three, financial friction. Financial friction are things like principal erosion, wrong financial structure, meaning leverage. You have negative or thin spreads. There's lack of liquidity. There's so many things that are being done currently by investors that are holding them back. And these are all based on math. They're pretty straightforward, but they're very powerful. Well, it turns out there is no asset. There is no single asset that can take you from a 40-year plan down to a 10-year plan. That has been established. There is no way, because that's based on rate, based on return. So when you think about that, can you put money into something that gets you X percent return consistently every single year? It's very difficult. And to get you from a 40-year down to 10-year. So we know the asset itself cannot do the heavy lifting. So what's left over is the things I just talked about, the trapped capital, the financial friction. If you optimize these, and these have nothing to do with the asset, by the way, these are just inefficiencies in the way people do things. For example, paying down their mortgage too soon, or poor financial liquidity decisions, or lack of liquidity. These are things you have so much more control over. Well, if you focus on optimizing these, you can actually take a 40-year down to 10 years. And that's where the shaving off of the decades happens, is it's not in the asset, because a lot of people are thinking, what's the asset? What's the secret asset? There is no secret asset. It's those inefficiencies that are you're doing wrong. For example, how many people do I know that are using leverage incorrectly, right? They don't understand the significance of, for example, the spread. They simply refinance, take the money out, and go buy something else. Well, guess what? you might have just screwed yourself because your financing is not optimized, right? Or sequencing. They have no clue on the right sequence of things to the invest, the strategies to invest in. Well, guess what? That slows you down significantly. Like, for example, if you were to invest in asset A and then asset B, but asset A is trapping your capital, between asset A and asset B, it's going to take you forever to get to your goals. But if you simply swap it where asset B comes first because it has the right criteria, and then asset A later on, that can help you boost your time to your goals significantly faster. So these are the inefficiencies that are actually exciting to fix because they have nothing to do with having to go buy some magical asset. It is things that people just need to know and make better financial decisions around, which is very, very exciting, by the way. It's a whole new field, I think, of optimizing these inefficiencies.
Can you give us an example of, like, what would then be an asset B versus an asset A that you should be investing in first?
So I'll give you an example. A lot of people are putting money into mutual funds. Okay, I have nothing wrong with mutual funds, okay, but when you start putting money into mutual funds early in your career and you're being sold on this idea of compound interest. So, Scott, you've seen these charts with compound interest that show you this incredible curve, and they show you compound interest is incredible. Here's what they don't tell you. If you look carefully at the bars, right, the first 10 years, it's mostly your money, right? The return is so, in terms of dollars, so little. The following 10 years, so between year one and year 20, again, it's mostly your money. It's starting to get more interesting. But what happens is in the third decade is where things get interesting. That's when compound interest starts getting very, very exciting. So most people are actually waiting for 20 years, sitting on a mutual fund, thinking, I'm going to get all this compound interest. Well, guess what? You're having to wait 20 freaking years, right? To get to the good stuff. Well, if they simply optimize that and they don't count, because compound interest is extremely inefficient with low dollar amounts, but it gets more interesting later on when you have a bigger amount. So for example, real estate is more interesting in the second part, for example, because now you have, you're buying assets that can compound, but you're putting in small money, right? And so there's a sequence for that, right? You don't have to wait 20 years to get to the good stuff with mutual funds. That's a huge example. And you cannot borrow against it. You cannot do anything with it, right? And so there's so many of these scenarios where people, but at the same time, real estate should come in a few years after you start, where you start with liquidity, you start with certain things. So that sequence is critical. And that's just an example.
So you definitely need more liquidity up front so you can
100%
buy more assets.
That's 100%.
So how do you believe the structure behind the asset matters more than the asset itself? Maybe you touched on that. Let's explore this a little bit more. This is
where financing, liquidity, leverage, flexibility, all of these become extremely important. So here's what I tell people is when you use leverage to buy assets or to refinance, you need to structure it correctly. So here's what I say, for example. Number one is every single asset can only carry so much weight. So for example, when I say weight, I'm talking about debt. Every asset can only carry so much debt. So real estate, we know, can only carry, for example, 80%. This is off a retail price. ETFs can only carry 40% or less. You never want to exceed that number, whatever it is, for whatever the asset is. And so that's first thing you need to do is how much weight or debt can it carry? Second thing is you want to make sure that when you borrow against it, that you have a positive spread. You want to make sure your money is working for you. A lot of people are refinancing in ways that actually puts them at a disadvantage. So the structure, what's called the capital structure, is critical. And obviously, as you know, Scott, liquidity is even more important than most people realize. When I used to own a lot of real estate and no liquidity, what used to happen was I would always notice my cash was coming in, but there was something off, because if something went wrong, I had to fix a roof or something, my cash for the next whatever number of years from that one property is gone, is wiped out. And I realized really quickly that I didn't have liquidity. Even though I thought cash was liquidity, it's not. You have to have a capital that you can access relatively quickly. So I realized later on that I should have built liquidity first and then real estate later, right? And it turns out that I can build liquidity relatively quickly, right? And so there are certain things you want to do. So that's how the structure behind the asset matters so much more than the asset itself, because that's what actually gives you that boost towards your goals much, much faster.
It does seem that banks like liquidity. You're going to go leverage, whatever it is, they want liquidity. They're not into you having no liquidity. So that is so true. All right. We are going to return after this for our final segment with George. We're talking about building wealth and doing it the right way to speed up that process. So we'll be back in just a moment. All right. We are back with George Antone, founder of Finance. It's a company developing cutting-edge strategies and technology to build wealth. He's here talking to us how to build wealth. And we are just, let me emphasize, he is going to be doing a whole Saturday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern time. Why most real estate investors build wealth too slowly. So you're going to get much more into detail. We can't do much in an hour-long program. That's $47 for members, $97 for non-members. Go to CincinnatiRIA.com. And then tonight also, we're going to be having Summit Real Estate Investor Help Night. We're going to help raising private money. And you can find that link at CincinnatiRIA.com. And that's at 7:30 Eastern time tonight till 9 p.m. So, George, how can buying the right asset at the wrong time slow someone down?
Again, this is very common right now, and I see a lot of people doing this. What they're doing is they're again working so hard, saving this hard-earned money and putting it into things where the capital is trapped. It is like once you see it, Scott, it's hard to unsee, and you start realizing everyone is doing it, and because they are not accounting for the time to their goal. They're accounting for dollars, you know, return. And so when you trap capital, it reduces your ability to build momentum and reuse money. And I'm seeing it across the board. And here's the other part I say is a lot of people fall in love with one asset. You know, they think mutual funds or whatever it is, the asset, their asset of the day. And so what happened is I realized you really have to diversify and have two or three or assets that you can bounce around depending on the market, depending on what's going on and on leverage, favorable leverage terms. And so this is an example of people excited about an asset. They buy it and the money's just sitting there. Year after year after year, and they're having to go back to work and work harder to generate more capital, and all because they bought the right asset at the wrong time.
Got it. So what does your approach to wealth building actually look like? What does it really look like? Like, give us a snapshot of this thing.
Yeah. So here's what I tell people is, first of all, you have to recognize that we're focusing on the capital, not the asset, meaning how can you increase your capital that you're going to invest? Again, let's just say your goal is you want to have $3 million worth of capital, what's called investment capital, out there in the market, whether it is real estate or stocks, whatever it is. So focus on increasing that number more than the asset return. That's the first thing. So the way you do that is you have to focus first on liquidity. First, you want to build assets that are relatively liquid. Liquid simply means I'm able to sell them relatively quickly if I need the capital. Again, I stress what I talked about earlier, have the right asset criteria, things we talked about, stability, income producing, You can borrow against with favorable terms. So what you're going to do is first buy liquid assets, things like ETFs, for example. That helps you build liquidity, and you're able to borrow against it at relatively good interest rate. Then what you do is once you have enough of those, you can move into other assets that are maybe less liquid. For example, in, you know, a lot of our members in year three, they start buying real estate, right? And, or year four, depending on their liquidity. So we give them these very specific ratios. So start with liquid assets, build that, have enough lines of credit, right? And the reason we use lines of credit is for, again, flowing money. So instead of waiting for a whole year for cash flow, if you take out 6 months worth of cash flow today, a line of credit against 6 months worth of cash flow. Let's just say your cash flow is $2,000 a month, right? And you're going to get $12,000 over the next 6 months. Get it today from a line of credit and have this cash flow pay it off. But you have the money today that you can buy more assets. And so we're constantly looking at time. How can we save time? How can we save time? And that's what takes people from 40 years down to 10 years or less. And so the whole system revolves around flowing money, compounding, and making sure that we are looking at increasing our capital. And so what I tell people is look at your total assets, how fast you're growing, your net worth. Your net worth should be growing 20 to 30% early on every single year, because you are constantly reusing capital, reusing the same capital. And make sure you understand, again, we're doing a lot of capital structuring. We're borrowing against these assets. We're buying more, but we're structuring them so that they're low leverage. We never go above 40%, for example, in leverage, as you know, Scott. And so we're constantly looking for positive spreads. We're looking at, we're constantly moving the money. What people start seeing is their total dollars in their accounts is growing. They start, let's just say, 100,000, 200,000. Next thing you know, they're 400,000, 500,000, 600,000, 700,000. And they see that growing relatively quickly, because that's, all of these things are measurable while maintaining, right, the not too much leverage. We're looking at what's your cash flow coming in. Your cash flow should be growing fast as well. And we've seen people go from having no cash flow to, you know, 10,000, 15,000 a month in within a few years. But obviously all of that is being reinvested, right? Really quickly. They're not living off of that. So that's what
they're actually putting money aside while they're doing this.
That's exactly correct. That's exactly correct.
So how do people actually remove those bottlenecks you talk about and accelerate their path towards
freedom? So here's what I tell people is think about the following words. Number one, structure, what's called capital structure of your deals, and specifically leverage, how leverage is structured. Number two, sequencing assets. You want to purchase assets in the right sequence, reducing the financial friction we talked about earlier, and making reusing of capital highest priority. So let's identify a few of these friction points, if you will, or bottlenecks. Number one is things like inflation, right? Inflation is always working against you. So how do you address that? You use the right leverage, right? Leverage is a way to shield you from inflation. People don't realize that. We talked about earlier, poor financing match, where you're matching the right asset with the wrong leverage, right? Again, this is where we talked about every asset can only carry so much weight, meaning debt, and you want to have the right spreads. You want to match these correctly. The other thing is have liquidity. Liquidity, people don't realize that. They think it's just money sitting around doing nothing. It's not. Done correctly, liquidity is one of the biggest boosts of for your goals. So these are ways to remove bottlenecks. Again, I can keep going on and on and on, these are some of the things that we talked about earlier, the compound interest idea. A lot of people are so sold on the compound interest on low amounts, they don't realize they're stuck in traffic for 20 years waiting for it to actually work. So you address that by using things like real estate, where you can own a bigger asset that can compound on a bigger amount. So for example, instead of taking that $100,000 and putting it into mutual funds and hoping one day it's going to start compounding like good amounts, put into real estate, right, as down payment, get a 30-year loan, and let that work for you, for example. That's much more efficient than, say, putting into mutual funds. Again, that's what most people, that's how you address. These are all things you can easily address with better training, right?
Right. That's perfect. So we have about 60 seconds left. So let's talk about one thing most people are doing financially that's silently slowing them down. What is the, or better yet, also, what is one thing they should be doing now? What's the one of the first things they should be doing to move this needle
faster? I always tell people the one thing you can do by far is stop asking yourself, what shall I invest in? And ask yourself, how can I quickly reuse my capital? That one question opens up so many new possibilities for someone. And think about measuring the speed at which you're getting back your money. That is by far the best thing you can do.
All right. So you have been listening to a discussion I'm having with George Antone, founder of Finance. He has just done a fantastic job teaching people. I have taken many of his courses and his programs, and you're going to hear more about him on June 13th. So I would definitely come for that, register. So we're going to end tonight. You've been listening to Real Life Real Estate Investing. I've been your host. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Till next time, remember, where others see property, we see possibility. Keep investing smart. See you next week.